Hello and welcome to the Harrisonburg 360 podcast. I'm your host, Lizzie Kubica. The Harrisonburg 360 podcast is an attempt to capture and record narratives of immigrants living in the Harrisonburg community. Using past and present voices of Harrisonburg immigrants, students in our JMU English class have collaborated to create a space focused on the importance of listening to each other's voices. Every person deserves a chance to share their story, and we, as a class, are privileged to share these stories with you in hopes of expanding perceptions of what it means to be an immigrant in Harrisonburg. Each week, Harrisonburg 360 is produced by a different team of students. This week's episode, The American Dream, was produced by Jasmine Frank, Lizzie Kubica, DJ Monsol, and Sean Walsh. In this week's episode, we'll talk about how realistic or unrealistic the American dream is for immigrants by hearing different immigrant experiences with education, language learning, and discrimination. Quay Hong Pham and her family left their home in Vietnam for political reasons during the end of the Vietnam War in 1975. The communist agenda was too threatening for her family to stay. With the possibility of torture or death for her father, who was a prominent educator in Vietnam, and the knowledge that their home, as well as many of their friends and family's homes, would be taken away, they knew they had to escape. Knowing what was around the corner for his family if they were to stay, Quay Hong's father rounded his family up and looked ahead to their next chapter, starting a new life in America. With one of her uncles, her father, mother, two brothers, and three sisters, Quay Hong and her family hastily boarded a ship amidst the chaos of other escapees trying to do the same thing. As Quay Hong and her family searched for transportation out of Vietnam, communist forces bombed the airport, destroying a vital mode of transportation.
But for us, the only other way to go would be by sea. So you can't go by air, land, you go by sea. So my parents rounded us up and got us down to the harbor, where we saw a lot of confusion, a lot of chaos, people running massively. Anything that can move, people were jumping on it, including kids just hanging out in the harbor, you know, teenage kids, you know, and then seeing people, you know, just running around, and they just decided to jump on a ship or something and load it up because there was no tickets at that time to board any ship that was leaving Vietnam. So you had a lot of situations where family members were very, it was very chaotic. So they were separated from their families at that time. So, so that journey was not a very pleasant journey because we didn't think to pack food or water. So we just thought to get the heck out of there is all we could think about, except my mom, 6 months prior to all this, she did prepare us and say, in case we ever leave our country, we're going to have a bag and you guys can fill in what you can in one bag. That's all you can take with you. So that journey was a very stressful, arduous journey, trying to just leave the country before the communists come and capture us, before they round up the men and get them to the rethink camp and start kicking you out of your home. So yeah, we were on the water, but surely not your typical crew. So we just make do. And on the third day, and the ship was getting just overloaded with people, you know, no food, no water, we're out in the sun. And so people were getting dehydrated. So the captain had SOS, he was just sending out SOS, you know, we've got a ship, 4,000 people, the boat is not doing too well, it's looking like it might sink. And luckily, a Danish cargo ship intercepted our SOS and took him 3 hours to find the coordinates to get to us, and they rescued us.
After being rescued by a Danish cargo ship, they were brought to Hong Kong, where they received food, water, and medical attention.
So then we stay in Hong Kong. It's a camp in Hong Kong for 3 months. And luckily, you know, they have food and water for us 3 times a day, which was a blessing, even though it was the same kind of food. And, you know, we kind of got sick of it after a while, but we were grateful to have food.
After 3 months in Hong Kong, international agencies came to interview the Vietnamese refugees to determine their eligibility for refuge in countries all over the world. A strict vetting system was used to determine an individual's ability to contribute to the country in which they were seeking refuge. Through the Red Cross, Quay Hong and her family were able to track down other family in California. In our interview with Quay Hong, she was able to tell us about her experience coming over to America and learning English. She told us that because she came over as a child, it was a lot easier to learn the language and culture. She says, children are very resilient, and it allowed us to pick up the language quicker. In addition to this, when they still lived in Vietnam, her mother would take her 12-year-old brother to the University of Saigon for English classes. This was a huge advantage to them and allowed her brother to be a translator for the family. She also mentions that a family at the local Methodist church sponsored her family and ministered to them even though they didn't speak the language. She was very fortunate for these opportunities to learn at such a young age because it allowed her the opportunity to do well in her schooling here in America.
There was a lot of hugs, a lot of smiles, a lot of, you know, just a lot of encouragement with a pat on the back to my dad and a lot of looking up the Vietnamese English dictionary, you know, to translate what we want to say. But my brother stepped up to translate a lot between the communication between the church people that were our sponsors and then my family, my mom and dad. And but even to this day, if you talk to my brother, he has a stronger accent than I do. So I think when I come here, when we came here and I was 8, I don't think I picked up an accent. I think I was able to acclimate, pick up the language, and just kind of learn very quickly a new language. So I think the advantage was the language skills, I think, and able to adapt, adjust, make new friends, and just move on.
Quê Hồng also went on to talk about the struggles her and her family faced during their acclimation to life in America. They often received help with groceries from the church, but she remarks on the satisfying moment when her family was finally able to get back on their feet and support themselves again.
And the people who sponsor us, I remember going back and talking to them as an adult and thanking them for all the hard work and getting my family settled. One of the ladies told me, Mrs. Sketchley, I still remember her, and she had told me that one of the proudest moment, I think, for your mom and dad was when I came and brought groceries one time. And she looked at me and she said, Mrs. Sketchley, you don't have to bring us groceries anymore. We have jobs and we can make it. And we can stand on our own. But we, you know, they thanked them. And I remember as a kid getting newspaper routes. All three of the older kids had newspaper routes. We all delivered newspapers and we knew what we needed to do after school was go home, deliver newspapers. And every 2 weeks, I can't remember exactly how much we made, but I remember whatever we made, we gave it to my mom and it was enough for grocery money for all of us. And then she would say, here, you can take $5 back. Like I would make $50 every 2 weeks or something. And I would give it to her. She goes, you can have $5 to spend whatever you want. And we were like, wow, $5 was a lot. And on Saturday, I remember my dad loading us up in his station wagon because there were 3 paper routes. So he would drive us around and we would just, you know, get the newspapers out and get delivered a lot faster than all three of us trying to deliver paper routes in different places.
Quê Hồng describes the financial struggles she and her family faced as they established their new lives in the United States. To support their family and to reduce their reliance on the church organization that supported them, Quê Hồng's parents took on several jobs. Eventually, Quê Hồng's father, knowing that his Vietnamese degrees weren't going to hold up in America, left his job at Bob's Big Boy to pursue a degree that would give him more employment opportunities.
And so some of the challenges were, you know, the cultural challenges, not ever having enough money that my parents had to really work hard. We all had to work hard. My brother would be bussing tables after school to make enough money, and he would give my mom the check for to help out with the family income. So we all pitch in, and that's how, I guess, immigrants who came here with nothing, you know, we make it and survive without putting ourselves on government food stamp or something because we all just worked. We got out and worked. But yeah, everything that we did was very family-oriented so that we can function as a family unit when we came here with nothing. So those were financial challenges, educational challenges, and cultural challenges. Education was the fact that we didn't know the language.
Even though Quê Hồng had some challenges initially when starting school, she quickly overcame these challenges, and her ability to speak other languages aided her in the opportunities she came across during her collegiate years. She goes on to talk about how the opportunities she found in America have impacted her life.
So, you know, now as an adult, what aspects of American culture would you say have impacted you the most?
Well, the opportunities, for sure. Certainly the opportunities, for sure. I was always good in foreign languages, and I learned Spanish. I took it since 6th grade, and I stuck with it. I also took advantage of the opportunities in college to go abroad and study. So I went to Spain to study one summer, to University of Salamanca in España, and that was fantastic. I took a summer. I would work during the school days, even though I had scholarships and stuff, but I always took like interns or whatever I was working while I was in school, save money. And then in the summer, I just traveled. So I remember, first of all, I remember at 19 going to Mexico, and I already knew Spanish. So I was able to help translate for my church group that was doing a missionary project in Mexico. And so I took opportunities like that. It wasn't through school, but it was an opportunity to travel, to meet new people and also use my foreign language skills. And so with English, Vietnamese, and Spanish, that opened many doors for me when I did get my degree in Virginia Commonwealth University as business information systems. And my first job out of college was working for Department of Transportation in DC as a systems analyst. But in college, I took advantage of a lot of their programs. I did co-op. I looked through the co-op program where they place students to work for companies. I ended up working for IBM for about 2 years when I was getting my degree. And then in the summer, I would save money and be traveling. So it was great. It was great. The opportunity was just so wide open. And my parents worked hard for us to have the opportunity. So I seized other opportunities could get. And I went to college without my parents paying a dime for any of the things I did. I was always working, able to pay my way, pay my own braces. So there's a lot of opportunities. I definitely would say the advantage in America that I took full advantage of, because that's what my parents worked hard to bring us over here for. And I didn't want their efforts to be in vain.
Kwe Hong ended our interview by stating that she would love to go back to visit and see the house she grew up in her old neighborhood, and that her culture and where she comes from will always be a huge part of her life and identity.
I would love to go back. I would like to go visit the house I grew up in and the neighborhood I was in and introduce the kids, anybody who could travel with, see where I grew up in and know their culture, because it's like when you have a tree that has firm roots and it gets deep into the soil, when the tree has good roots, it's a very confident tree that just rises, you know, to the sky. Whereas, you know, if you got a tree that doesn't have very strong roots, what happens? The wind blows and they're blown over very easily, you know, with the wind comes because the roots is not deep. So I think to know cultural background, your heritage, I think it kind of validate a person's like heritage is who they are, their being and their developmental skills and just different things to know that, oh, I came from like this country and therefore I like this kind of food and that's why I do what I do.
While Kwe Hong was very fortunate to have a relatively nice transition to American life and education, unfortunately not all immigrants are as lucky. An interview from 1993 with Harrisonburg resident Willie Chavez shows us how immigrating to the Shenandoah Valley can bring many issues. Willie Chavez came to America from Mexico after hearing about the Harrisonburg area from his brother who had already immigrated here. Willie had some issues learning English when he arrived here and mostly picked up English phrases here and there from his coworkers at the poultry plant he worked at. In his interview, he talked about while he never personally faced any discrimination because of this, his wife, who as a stay-at-home mom doesn't have the opportunity to learn from talking to coworkers, has had a very hard time learning to communicate. In addition to this, he tells us that his kids have faced issues before at school with other children not wanting to sit with them or communicate with them sometimes.
What kind of things have you heard about happening to other people?
¿Y cuáles son los prejuicios que han oído sobre vivir en los Estados Unidos o en Virginia, en el estado de Virginia? ¿Cuáles son?
Pues por ejemplo, los niños, cuando se pelean los niños. Los niños americanos con mexicanos, ¿verdad? Y ya los papás ya no les gusta, se molestan, okay. ¿Verdad?
The kids bother, like, in school.
Sí.
Pero no le molestan en la escuela ni nada.
A veces tienen problemas en el bus.
Oh. Porque no se quieren sentar con ellas.
Sí, a veces hay asientos desocupados y no la dejan sentarse porque va uno solo sentado. Quiere ir uno solo sentado.
Oh, no. Sometimes they have problems on the bus. Sometimes she'll want to sit alone, or sometimes there'll be someone sitting alone, they won't want to sit there. But that's it.
So nothing's happened to
yeah.
you?
You know, más duro.
Not at work, or...
Ellas se sienten mal porque ellas no pueden hablar todavía bien el español, el inglés. Y ellas, pues, van paradas, ¿verdad? Ellas Sí, por no tener problemas. ¿Y cómo se comunican?
Mm-hmm. It's just mainly the kids are having problems mainly with things of I mean just communication. Mainly just communication.
Ah. ¿Y tú también o no? ¿Tienes problemas con comunicación aquí o
No, que no sé inglés,
¿no?
Oh,
¿no sabes inglés?
No.
Oh, pensé yo que...
Yo no sabía.
Oh.
No, yo no sé.
¿Es muy difícil?
Se me hace muy difícil.
¿Y dónde es la más difícil? ¿En, no sé, las tiendas o...?
Pues, ¿qué? Por ejemplo, ¿verdad? Siempre anda él conmigo, ¿verdad?
Ah, oh, bueno.
Yo siempre tengo que andar.
Mejor, ¿no? Sí,
mi esposo siempre anda conmigo.
Well, so because she has problems with the communication too, but he's always with her, so it's not as difficult for her.
There is a clear difference between the two interviews about what it is like to grow up in America as an immigrant. Kwe Hong was fortunate enough to have peers who wanted to communicate, talk with her, and help her learn English. Willie Chavez's children unfortunately did not have peers who were as welcoming all the time. An important thing that these conflicting interviews show is that there is no such thing as a one-size-fits-all immigrant or immigrant story. While Kwe Hong's story covered her initial difficulties with transitioning to American life, she embraced the challenge and thrived. That is not to discount Willie Chavez's experiences or his family's struggles. Another important takeaway on the immigrant experience is that many of them face racial discrimination and even violence during their transitionary period, and some may face it for the rest of their lives. Luckily, with Kwe Hong's experience in the school system, she did not face violence or extreme racism, but others are not so lucky. In one immigrant narrative we read this semester, The Ungrateful Refugee, Dina Nairi mentioned her appalling experience while attending her new American school. She writes, "At first, the children were welcoming, teaching me English words using toys and pictures. But within days, the atmosphere around me had changed. A group of boys met me in the yard each morning and, pretending to play, pummeled me in the stomach. They followed me in the playground and shouted gibberish, laughing at my dumbfounded looks. A few weeks later, two older boys pushed my hand into a door jamb and slammed it shut on my little finger, severing it at the first segment. I was rushed to the hospital, carrying a piece of my finger in a paper napkin. The segment was successfully reattached." Clearly, Dina's experience in the school system is a more extreme experience than the one Kwe Hong and Willie Chavez's children went through. Hearing each of these stories, it is important to note that although every immigrant's experience is different, one story doesn't take away from or discredit others, even if they are divergent. Every immigrant's story is important and valid, and it is truly an honor to be able to hear and share their stories. An important aspect to discuss is that what people often think of as the American dream isn't always the reality. People don't immigrate to America and suddenly all of their problems go away. They are often faced with a whole new set of obstacles, and opportunities aren't often as available to them as one might think. More often than not, they make these sacrifices in order to provide those opportunities for their children and for future generations to come. To them, the American dream isn't about moving to America and suddenly living the perfect life. It is about sacrificing so much of their own comfort and stability in the hope that their future generations will have the education, opportunities, experiences, and safety that they were often denied. Thank you for joining us today on Harrisonburg 360. We are grateful to Kate Morris, Bodine Amiot, Sarah Roth-Mullett, Kirstine Melodia, Leah Smith, and Dr. Allison Fagan for helping make this episode possible. Our host today was Lizzie Kubica. Interview with Kwe Hong Pham was conducted by Jasmine Frank. Our research and content producer was DJ Monsall, and our audio producer was Sean Walsh. Be sure to check us out on Facebook and Instagram at Harrisonburg360, or find us through the hashtag Harrisonburg360 to stay up to date on what we are doing in our newest episodes. Thank you so much for listening along to Harrisonburg 360. Real people, real stories, one community.